What's going on, everybody? Another great guest today, Ben Spearing, Wisconsin Sports Heroics, joining the show. We're going to chop it up on the basketball side. And really, how much of this roster do we even really like going into next year? And how much still needs to happen for this to be a competitive basketball team? All that and more on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I am Ryan Herrings. This is Locked On Badgers. Thank you for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Free and available wherever you get podcasts, YouTube, free and available. Appreciate all the support. We're going to jump right into it again. Another great guest, Ben Spearing coming on, big-time basketball guy in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Sports Heroics. We're going to bring him on the show. Ben, man, thank you for jumping on. Really appreciate the time as always.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, of course, man. And I've said this before. I told you this just now. We have so many smart people that cover the Badgers in the Twitter sphere. I think all I want to do is get those smart people on the show and get them out of the way. So that's why one of the reasons you're here. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to jump into the first topic here. We lost a lot off this team, you know, with Davison leaving. How many players on this year's basketball roster do you feel great about for next year? How many surefire things do we have?
I mean, it's tough. You know, so you obviously have Tyler Wall, Stephen Crawl, Chucky Hepburn. You know, those are probably your three locks right now, you know, in your starting five. And then at this point, it's kind of up in the air. You know, obviously they have, you know, quite a few scholarship spots to fill, you know, with potential in the transfer portal. But obviously you want to see those guys that are on your bench that can step in. I like the games that, you know, what Jacoby Neath, Carter Gilmore, Jordan Davis, what those guys can bring. It's just, can they take that next step and step up? So again, there's still a lot of questions about that roster. But you know, if you're a great guard, you still have to stay hopeful. You have to hope that, you know, you brought these guys in for a reason. And there's obviously going to be some optimism that they can take that next step forward.
And I think, you know, you hit on it, right? There's literally only three guys you bring up that are like, yeah, we know these guys are good. And let me ask you this, because even of those three, so I'm all with you on Hepburn and Wall. I mean, I love Hepburn's game. I think Wall is an incredibly good player, even though he has some limitations with shooting. Even Crowell, to me, he's not a question mark in terms of, is he a Big Ten player, right? I think that we know he's a Big Ten player. Can he be a really good Big Ten player consistently?
Well, I think obviously with how, you know, big men have been in the Big Ten. I mean, look at some of these guys that have been in, you know, it been part of the Big Ten. Kofi Coburn, you know, you have Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis. Those
Zach
are guys
Edey,
that, yeah, know. Zach Edey. Yep. I mean, we're talking about some dudes that can just be absolute bullies and down on the block and get their points. But the one thing that I really like about Crawl is the guy can stretch the floor. He can give you an outside shot. Obviously, you know, his percentage wasn't as high as you probably would hope for. But if you've got a big man that can get you closer to, you know, shooting a 3-point percentage, closer to like 34, 35%, that's going to be a big mark to kind of help this team move forward. I think the other thing that he does is he brings a really good presence on the defensive end. He still had to kind of mold into that body a little bit, get stronger, take the offseason to, you know, really fill out a little bit more. So I think this is a year where we can finally say, like, Stephen Crawl could be a legitimate Big Ten, you know, center moving forward. But obviously, you know, right now with where the roster is, you probably would want to have another Chris Vogt kind of come on to kind of fill some extra minutes with there too.
Yeah, amen to that. And I actually agree with you on the Crawl take. I think Crawl's going to make a big jump next year. I really believe that he's skilled enough. He just needs, like you said, he needs 15 pounds. And frankly, he needs some of those dudes to graduate and get out of the Big Ten. And they are, right? I mean, definitely Kofi's gone, you know. Thank goodness. so I agree with you there.
We don't know we don't know about Dickinson yet, but we don't even know about Trace Jackson Davis yet.
That's true.
You know, at least Colbert's gone. You know,
I mean, I feel like he was the biggest foil anyway. That regular season game he had against us was just nauseating. So getting him out of there, man, that's a big deal. And I think Crowell's going to take a jump up. Of the other players on the roster, the young guys, let's specifically focus on maybe not Neath as much, but Jordan Davis. Let's focus on Ilver. Let's focus on those younger players, even a Carter Gilmore that is a little younger. You know, Isaac Lindsay, which of those dudes do you think is the most likely to take a big step next year?
Ooh, it's kind of tough for me right now to kind of pick one. And if I had to really pick one right now, I'm probably going with Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. Just on the number of minutes that we've seen, what he can kind of be on the defensive standpoint as well. I thought for the most part, he can kind of fill in a role and provide good minutes. It's coming down to that shooting consistency. And in games, there was times where Jordan Davis knocked down a few shots, and you could see the optimism and what could be for him as a player. Obviously, ceiling wise for him though, I don't know how much more we could really see. I want to be hopeful that, Wisconsin can kind of turn the tide and get these guys to make him some more shots from outside and fill that void that is going to leave with, Brad Davison and Johnny Davis no longer going to be a part of the team. So it's going to be hopefully another Davis stepping up and filling in the shoes.
So he's a guy to me that feels like a prototypical, and I am definitely not trying to sell him short on this because the book isn't written on him for sure, but he feels like a prototypical role player. Like that, yeah. I think that, and I think you mentioned with the ceiling, like a guy that, can kind of develop into hit a couple big buckets, switch on defense, add some toughness. Are there any guys on this team, and I'm going to even add Wall and Hepburn into this, are there any guys on this team that can be the best player on a Final Four roster or an Elite Eight roster? Are there any stars on this team?
I guess it depends on programs. I think there's certain programs, like if you said that there was a Elite Eight team, I could say maybe a guy like Chucky Hepburn is probably the most likely answer there, just with how athletic he is, what he could be. And it's a guy that's still unlocking offense in his game. And I think this next year is a season where we're going to probably see some more Chucky Hepburn kind of taking over some more games and kind of being that guy. So if I had to pick one, it's probably him. I'd also argue Tyler Wall, just for the simple fact of how much of a glue guy he can be on a roster. The way that he can find a shot down the post, but also play some really good defense and match up with some bigger guys on opposing teams. He can match up with the guy that's either a three all the way up to a five, and that's something that's really valuable for a program.
Well, especially in today's era of basketball, defensive versatility switching, it's far more important than it ever used to be. With him, it's the jumper, right? That's really what's going to separate him from being that really good, because I think he's probably at the college level more than just a good role player. Like, he's a really good rotational player. He can't be a star if he can't shoot, right? Exactly. Is that going to happen, or have you closed the book on that possibility?
I know they're working at it. And obviously we saw him, keep attempting the threes. And from what I've heard, and, guys have mentioned this, like Jeff Petrikas has mentioned this, plenty of times being at practices, he's making those shots in practice. So it's not that he can't shoot that and, find that and be consistent there. It's just kind of putting it all together and being that central point of his game. I also, like you mentioned, a jump shot would be huge for him as part of his game, even if it's, a 15 footer that he can kind of go to. That's just something more in his arsenal that you hope that maybe he can put it together this summer and work on. But like you mentioned, that 3-point shooting is going to be kind of more important for his game to see. Again, with where this roster is, it's going to be a focal point for trying to change and to make an improvement at.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think, to me, he's the closest thing Wisconsin has to someone who has the ceiling of a star, but it requires that jumper. I think Hepburn's ceiling is probably just below that, but incredibly steady, really good player. I just don't know if he has the size athleticism to be kind of a star guard in the Big Ten, but both of those guys are total locks to be really good players next year. Obviously, it's going to depend on what comes around them. Guys, we're going to continue this conversation a bunch more. I want to ping on Ben about We're going to talk about recruiting, some of the 2023-2022 kids coming up, and the transfer portal as well. So stay tuned. Ton more coming up with Ben. But first, let's talk about one of our show sponsors. Built Bar is, listen, I just got my 12-pack the other day. I'm 39. I have continued to try to treat this year as a way to get in shape. And you can't do that without the nutritional aspect of it. You know, I've talked about it. You get the variety pack from Built Bar. You get 12 different bars. I had the churro the other day. I just had the double chocolate today, and they taste good. It's 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, not a lot of sugar. It's not the candy bar that makes you feel guilty and bloated and sad and tired. This is something you go, you work out, you hit the gym, right? You run some fives, and then you eat the Built Bar, and you feel great about it. It fuels your body, gets you ready for that next step. You know, again, 100% real chocolate. What they've done is create something that tastes good, and then they found a way to make it healthy. It's not like the other protein bars on the market that we're not going to name, but we all know what we're talking about. It tastes like you're eating cardboard. Built Bar is not that. If you go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15, you get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at built.com. Thank you guys again for making Lockdown Badgers your first listen every day. Keep in mind, this week is NFL Draft Week, starting Thursday, April 28th. Tune into Lockdown NFL Drafts live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft. 3 days of real coverage, real live analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. You got Matt Williamson, you got Brian Peacock, all the information you need leading up to the NFL Draft. All you're going to find it all on Lockdown Network. And again, guys, we're going to bring Ben Spearing again back from Wisconsin Sports Heroics. We're going to continue basketball talk. I really wanted to get him on here. He's a really sharp guy with everything going on in the Badgers landscape. First, Ben, I want to turn over to you. Where can people find your work? Where can they reach out and contact you?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ryan. You can find me on Twitter at BennyBoy615. Or else you can go on our site, WisconsinSportsHeroics.com. You know, we're also tweeting out, you know, during for games. We're also doing all sorts of stuff, you know, throughout the off season. So obviously things are a little bit quieter right now with what's going on, but, once the season start to kind of fold, you know, we have a lot of content that comes out. So you can definitely count on Wisconsin Sports Rogues to kind of have all that Wisconsin Badger and football needs.
That's awesome. And guys, again, I encourage you guys, go out, follow Ben. They put a lot of content out. It's somebody that I've checked out on Twitter, and we're really lucky to have people like him covering the team. There's a lot of smart people out there. Let's get into our next segment here. What kind of wanted to touch on the transfer portal. We just talked about the roster, and that kind of leads into the holes on the roster, a bunch of spots that still need to be filled. They did bring in Kamari McGee, you know, the back kind of slotted in as a backup point guard. I want to start there. What did you think of the pickup? Did it fit a hole? Is it somebody that you really like?
Yeah, I like you said, you know, he's coming in and kind of filling in that backup point guard role. Obviously, a really talented, you know, freshman that was playing at UW Green Bay, Racine native like myself, so I got a soft spot for that. But the kid is talented. I don't know if the ceiling is really, you know, going to maximize what everyone is looking for. And from what it sounds like, that's okay with him. I think he wants to fill a role of just being a part of a team and, you know, put together good minutes and everything. He can create his own shot. I think obviously the biggest question is, you know, with kind of being a smaller point guard, how well is he going to translate to Big Ten play? And it's probably going to take, you know, a little bit to get used to. But he's a really talented player, guy that plays really well on the defensive end. And I think that's what kind of really stands out to why Greg Garden Company reached out.
It seems like the other part of this to me, and let me know what you think on this. It seems like a low risk move, right? You're bringing in somebody who seems to, like you said, understand the culture, understand what he's coming in for. He knows Chucky Hepburn's on the team, but you're bringing in somebody with several years left of eligibility and someone who's already proven he can at least, you know, get some buckets, hit some shots. To me, it feels like a low risk, not a super high reward, but someone who's going to really fill a need for the next 3 years.
Well, if you look back at, you know, who was filling in that spot, you know, behind Chucky, it was Lauren Bowman. Mm-hmm. And obviously with him moving on and going back home, you know, it was obviously a void that they needed to fill. So bringing in a guy like McGee, like you said, it's kind of that low risk, but can really bring that production of like what you were looking for. Mm-hmm. A guy that can handle the basketball, can find open spots and, you know, create that shot to get open. He can also knock down three-pointers. The numbers there weren't great, and I think that was part of where UW Green Bay was as a team kind of later in the season. They kind of leaned on him a lot with where they were roster wise. So for him to come in, I think is going to be a huge extra part to the offense. And who knows, maybe they decide to roll out two point guards in that, you know, in an offense. And maybe we'll see some more minutes from Kamari McGee than we probably would expect. But I think it's definitely a signing that I like and definitely is going to help the team moving forward.
Well, let's just think about last year, right? How much would a Kamari McGee have helped last year? Not even when down, but even before that, the Badgers had just for stretches, nothing coming off the bench. Yeah. Like this guy, I feel confident that McGee is going to be able to come in and provide some offense and not turn the ball over. Maybe the comparison I've used before is a different version of a Trevor Anderson type player, but that's really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with that. You know, that where the bench was this last year wasn't as helpful as we kind of were hoping for. Again, it was a young kind of, you know, back end of the bench. So it was kind of hard to gauge whether or not how many minutes we were looking at. Obviously, you were hoping that, you know, Lorne Bowman would kind of fill in with those minutes, even, you know, figuring out with Ben Carlson. But obviously, you know, it just didn't pan out the way that, you know, Greg Carr was hoping for. But, you know, for Wisconsin to put that together with the roster.
Oop, and I think I lost Ben for a second. Ben, back. All right, I think I lost you for a second, but I see you're back. But, yeah, just continue, please.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, obviously with where the roster was this last year, you know, they you know, relied heavily on where that starting five was. And kind of at the end, that's where you kind of saw maybe we kind of needed those extra guys to come off the bench and find some production. So McGee coming off the bench is going to be a huge extra step.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you there. The depth needed to be rebuilt. Now, I want to pivot a little bit too. There's still holes on the roster. There's still scholarships available. There's still people in the portal. Two-part question. How many bodies does Wisconsin need to bring in? And is there anybody specifically looking at that you think is a realistic fit here?
So I think right now you're probably looking at least two more transfers to come in, I think ideally. And I'll premise that with potential that one of those scholarships that they also have open with that could go to a 2022 commit. So as far as transfer goes, the one guy that I'm kind of keeping an eye on right now is Max Jones. He's out of Tampa College. It's a D2 program. Really nice floor for a guard, can really knock down shots. He averaged over 20 points per game this last year, and just a really talented player. He's getting looks at from programs like Virginia, Villanova, LSU, Alabama. Iowa State's also in the mixes there. So it's obviously going to be a tough one to kind of get him to buy in a little bit. But hopefully that's kind of one where I'm kind of leaning right now that they can kind of come to and see if they can get them to come to Madison. The other one that I'm really hoping for that I just don't know if it's going to end up happening, is Baylor Shireman, South Dakota State. I know Wisconsin has reached out, but so has about 30 other programs. And we're talking the likes of, you know, Gonzaga, Kentucky. Yeah. And it's a lot of wishful thinking, but what a player that you could bring in that could just stretch the floor and just be that wing that you kind of have been missing on this roster. And to come in, you know, and have a potential to be that still that same guy that he was with South Dakota State, it'd be a huge addition. But, you know, with where transfers are right now, it's hard to gauge. It's hard to figure out where, you know, where guys are going. You know, a lot of the guys that Wisconsin had eyes on, Grant Bezdil, Bennett Vanderplas, those guys have either committed or have shown that they're looking elsewhere. So they're kind of in this tough spot right now of figuring out what their next kind of guys that they're going to target.
It does look like when you start talking about guys potentially coming in, you're looking at we need somebody in the backcourt. You're looking at a backcourt guy, a wing. And we talked earlier, you know, I don't know if there's a backup five on the roster either.
No.
You know, so is, again, Vogt, I think people sleep a little bit on what Vogt did last year. I thought Chris Vogt in his role was really solid, right? Maybe a Kamari McGee type of a role. I don't know who that guy is next year if they don't get a transfer there, but we almost have more holes than we have scholarships, right? So Do you need a wing or a backup five more, do you think?
I think ideally you would probably want the wing, just for the simple fact that there is a void on offense there that has to get filled, and you're looking for a guy that can come in and be an immediate impact from three-point shooting. And that's probably the hardest part, is getting a guy like that to come in. There was one backup center that Wisconsin expressed interest to, Callum McRae. He was a UC Riverside transfer, ended up committing to Sacramento State. And they kind of, I think the idea was that they wanted to bring him in as that backup. But, you know, it makes it sound like he's probably going to a program that probably is going to give him, offer him some more minutes. Probably, you know, it's still on the West Coast. So obviously that seemed to also kind of play in a factor as well.
Right. Guys, we're going to continue this conversation. We got another segment coming up with Ben. We're going to get into some the high school recruiting, the 2023 commit, John Blackwell, and I'm also going to have him touch on Connor Seagy and the 22 kid. So stick around for that. I'm curious to see who he thinks will have the bigger impact and who he thinks has a better ceiling. So that's coming up with Ben. Definitely stick around. Today's show is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto is the best way in 2022 to shop for car parts. There's no longer a need to go to the local little local parts store, stand in line, tell the guy behind the counter, who honestly doesn't really care that much about your car, what you need. He punches it into the computer. They probably don't have it in the warehouse. They probably, if they do, it's going to be more expensive. With Rock Auto, you're going to save 30%, 50%, even 100% on the same parts. You're going to get exactly what you need. You're going to avoid the aggravation. They ship it to you. I've done this on my Jeep Compass that is perpetually broken. I'm telling you guys, there's not a better way to do it. Use your mobile phone. Go to Rock Auto. It's a family-friendly business. They've been doing it for 20 years, and the website is incredibly user-friendly. Drop-down menus, you navigate exactly to what you need, exactly every time, at exactly the lowest prices. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. And thank you again, guys, for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. We're going to continue the conversation with Ben, Wisconsin Sports Heroics. Ben, I wanted to touch base on the 2022 and the 2023 basketball recruiting commits. And again, thank you so much for your time. Very, very gracious. 2022, Connor Seagian, you know, the guard out of Indiana. Is he going to play this year?
I think my answer would say no. I think the only reason why I say no is probably just where his body is. He's got to fill out a little bit more, kind of get used to it. But that doesn't mean I'm not in on the idea that he could potentially come in and play some minutes. I don't think we're going to see an extensive role, at least this year. But boy, am I excited as a guy coming in. I think he is an incredible shooter from outside. He can create space. He can find ways to score. Again, if he can fill out a little bit more and kind of get into that Big Ten body as a guard, I think it's going to be probably one of those guys you're going to probably remember shooting wise as being one of the better shooting guards that we've had at Wisconsin.
The high school film illustrates it, right? At the high school level, again, you never know for sure how things translate. But at the high school level, he's an incredible shooter, which leads me into, I actually think he is going to carve out a role. And I hear everything you're saying. And Wisconsin, more than most programs, and you know this, it matters your body. It matters defensively. Like, they don't just throw people out there just because you can shoot. However, I think last year's team was so bad, like just so bad shooting, and now Brad Davidson's gone. I think they might need to find a role for him and just hope and pray on defense.
Well, and you kind of saw that where, you know, guys like Isaac Lindsay were getting looks at some points in the season, you know, and guys that we probably didn't necessarily think were going to come out and make, you know, get those minutes. So I agree with that notion of, you know, finding a way to carve out a role for him. And I think the biggest part, you know, along with his body, is he does have to kind of get a little bit better as a defender. I think he kind of can get lost at points. It's not that I don't think he can't be. I think it's just something where you're coming into Wisconsin, it's that point of emphasis that they just really harp on. So it's going to be something where he's going to have to get used to. But like you mentioned, if he can shoot the way that he was shooting in high school and at least somewhat put that, you know, to Big Ten play right away as a freshman, there's no doubt in my mind that he could see those minutes. Because it's not that Wisconsin, you know, won't have a spot for that. They're definitely going to have that opportunity for him to, you know, take those minutes.
I mean, I'll tell you this, and I agree with everything you said. Wisconsin is a program that doesn't sacrifice defense for offense. I will say this. There are people in Madison who might riot if the shooting percentages are still like 25% last year. He's on the bench and teams are just playing a 3-2 zone against us. You know, there's people that might riot. His role might just be like, if I'm thinking about it, I don't think it's a major role, but it might just be the other team goes to a 2-3 and we put a Seguin out there in the corner for 5 minutes. And even that spacing, because that I think what happened, and I'm switching gears a little bit, but I want to get your take on this. I think a little bit of what happened to Wall, he struggled down the stretch. I think they just stopped guarding on the perimeter and they just collapsed on him.
Yeah, and you're exactly right there. I think it's teams were starting to figure things out, and I think a lot of that too is if you look back to the second half of the Big Ten schedule, teams, you know, that's kind of what happens is you kind of get that first matchup out of the way, you see how guys are going to play, what their tendencies are. And then it's also figuring out and adapting from there. Wisconsin doesn't waver too much from what they want to run, which for those people that like the fire of Twitter, they're all about, you know, wanting to see those points and see that percentage go up. So I can understand the frustration there. And we definitely had those moments last year. But the other thing, too, that Wisconsin does is when those things, when baskets don't go down, they put it together on the defensive end, and right. They make those teams earn that victory. It's not often that Wisconsin doesn't back down from, you know, those types of games, except when they're playing Kofi Coburn. But that's beside the point.
And he goes full Super Saiyan. Let's go to John Blackwell. So I think you and I are mostly on the same page with Connor, just in terms of the holes he potentially could fix on Wisconsin's roster. You know, mm-hmm. And if he does play next year, it's not likely to be a big role, but it could definitely be something situationally. Let's go to 2023. Wisconsin did land a commit from a Michigan combo guard, John Blackwell, 6'3", 6'3", 6'4". What are your impressions of his game? Have you had a chance to watch some film? What do you think?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of film on him. Obviously, the story is, you know, Wisconsin offered early and he fell in love and knew that Wisconsin was a good program and they never wavered. That's one thing about, you know, Wisconsin when it comes to recruiting is when they offer a guy, they truly are in on that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of something a little bit different, you know, whether it's even with football, you know, that's always something that's been so consistent with the recruiting is if they're going to offer you, it's going to be meaningful. But as far as how he plays, a physical guy that likes to get inside, he can create his own shot. He can knock down threes as needed. I'm going to premise this and say he kind of gives me Johnny Davis vibes, but I'm not saying it's going to be Johnny Davis-esque. There are things about his game that I like and the ideas of how he can finish inside and how he can create a shot that I think kind of translates to what we saw with Johnny Davis this last season. So there's a lot of upside to his game. I think the biggest thing is probably going to be, again, just kind of filling out a little bit more as a guard. But he physically is actually a lot further along than probably most, even as a 2023 commit. So there are definitely a lot of good signs. And athletic-wise, like, it's about as athletic of a guy that you're going to find for a guard.
And I think, you know, one of the things because I had a chance to interview him, and unfortunately my audio didn't work. I failed, but I did get to talk to him. And, you know, one of the things I liked about him on film and then talking to him about it is offensively, and this feeds into your point, I thought he had the ability to shoot from three, score from mid-range off a lot of different action. You know, it wasn't just catch and shoot or put your head down and get to a lot of high school kids. There's a lot of nuance in his game that I think is really impressive.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I kind of premise my idea of like Johnny Davis vibes. You know, it's there's a lot of those little things where he can create his own shot and be able to defend the way that Johnny was against some of these guys and get in your face. There was a lot of those similarities that I saw with him. So if you're trying to get excited about a guy and especially a guy that's kind of bought into Wisconsin and everything, he is definitely one to cheer on for.
Yeah, I like the pickup quite a bit. I think it's an under the radar guy with good physicality and offensive skills. I'm already keeping you for too long. I usually run out of time before I run out of questions. But I got one more for you. I want your opinion on a guy that Wisconsin has been on and off again, essentially, I would call it in the 2023 class. Gus Yaldin was a Wisconsin guy, moved around. I think he's in North Carolina now. kind of a bigger bodied forward slash center, quite a bit of skill, but not an above the rim player. I don't want to spoil your opinion at all with anything. I think I'm very curious. What are your thoughts on Gus Yalden, a player? And do you think he's going to end up as a Badger?
To premise the first, the first one, I think he's a great player. I think there is something about his game. And when he has the nickname Baby Jokic, it makes sense. You know, the way that he can, the way that he can shoot, the way he can stretch the floor, and the way that he can be a passer as well. You just don't see that from most big men. And, you know, for him, even early on in the AAU circuits, you could see that and what was kind of turning into that. I know, as he's gotten older, he's kind of fit into his body a little bit more. He kind of seems like a guy that can play at the next level. So as far as what I think he can do, I think he could be actually a great addition to Wisconsin, what their offense is. I think it's something that kind of reminds me a lot like if you combined Ethan Happ and Frank Kaminsky and you kind of put them together, but you just took a little bit of the height off. I think he can be that type of player. Again, he's got all the intangibles to be an incredible kind of stretch five. And I think it'd be interesting to see if Wisconsin can keep him in. As far as will they, it's going to be tough. That's the part where I think Wisconsin is maybe losing out on. I'm excited if he would commit. But I think the one program that's kind of seems to be the one maybe kind of leaning kind of forward seems to be Louisville right now. Obviously, they had a coach switch. So I don't know where all that is right now with how he feels about the program. He's spoken highly about what they do as an offense. And also, Chris Mack brought as a coach there. So it's kind of interesting to see where he'll end up falling. I hope it ends up being in Wisconsin, but I'm just going to, hopefully things will pan out the way that it does.
And I 100% have never agreed with anybody on anything in my life. I am so locked in with you on him. I think he's a stud. A lot of people are worried, like the body type. And I think he reminds me of Caleb Swanigan from Purdue. Like he reminds me of, I think he's that type of dude too. It's kind of a weird sweet spot where I don't know if he's quite athletic and springy enough to jump to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you could end up getting this guy who could just dominate in the post, be a point forward, shoot the three, initiate offense, rebound the basketball. You could have him for multiple years. I think it'd be an absolute home run. I agree with you 100% on Gus.
Yeah, he is, to me, he is one of the most interesting prospects that they've been on since the very beginning. And this was even back when he was a freshman, still up in Appleton before he ended up going down. And I believe now he's down in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I will say is he's playing in the AU circuit, down there. And you're talking about some of the top programs. He was also playing at IMG Academy the year prior. Talk about some of the guys that you're going to play against at, the top level athletic wise, and he's competing with them. So I think there's a lot more upside to him than just being, unsure about how he'll be as a true five and kind of fill the void of being a stretch five that can be so much more than just the true center that people want him to be.
Yeah, I agree completely. Ben, man, thank you so much for jumping on. I hope to do this again with you. Definitely appreciate your time and let people know again, just throw the Twitter out there and everyone should follow Ben, guys. Great, great Badger Mind on Twitter.
Yeah, Ryan, I appreciate the invite. I couldn't be more excited to come on. So I hope this, is not a one-time deal, but you can catch me on Twitter at BennyBoy615 or else you can catch me at Wisconsin Sports Heroics. Either on our website or on Twitter. We do all sorts of Badgers, whether it's football or basketball. We'll live tweet for games as well. So if you're looking for all things Wisconsin sports, we are definitely a site to do so.
All right, guys. And thank you again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Can't say enough how much I appreciate Ben coming on. Really sharp guy. Please follow him. We'll link all of his stuff in the show description when we post that. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Free and available everywhere on podcasts. Again, on YouTube, the subscribers. It means a lot, guys, to see the positive comments come in. All we're trying to do is get, good Badger people on here and build this community. So, really, really appreciate it. Make a Locked On NFL Draft your second listen of the day. The draft is coming up this week. Tracy, former NFL quarterback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft to life every day with insight and analysis on all your college football prospects and front offices. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. Thank you guys so much.